All right, go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy one last time. We're going to focus in on verses 9 through 22 today, chapter 4, the very last verses of this letter that Paul wrote. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 22. A lot of you know that I'm a big sports fan, and I often talk about it, and I often use sports stuff as illustrations, in my sermons. And some of you really probably really like that, and some of you may be really annoyed by it, but that's just who I am. And, being a sports fan, I've listened to many speeches by a lot of different athletes who have retired or who have been inducted into their sport hall of fame. And inevitably, as I've heard these speeches, I've heard them thank multiple people who have helped them along the way, their family, their friends, their coaches, their teammates, whoever. And in April of 1980, Roger Staubach, who was my hero at the time, my favorite player on the Dallas Cowboys, he retired. I think I got a picture. Isn't that a beautiful football helmet? That's the way helmets should look like, right? The double bar, the old style helmet. But in April of 1980, he retired. And as a little boy, I remember watching clips of the press conference on the news. And listen, this was my favorite player. And I was heartbroken, that my favorite player, my boyhood hero, was stepping down. And this is some of what Roger Staubach said that day, as he knew his time with the Cowboys had ended. He said, "The system was successful before me. It's been successful with me in the 70s, and it will be successful without me." And then he went on to thank teammates that he had played with over the years. And tears began to come down out of his eyes and down his chin, or down his cheeks, and his chin quivered again. And then he said, "Of course, the nuts and bolts of the Dallas Cowboys," his voice broke, and then he nodded toward Tom Landry sitting at a table not too far away. He says, "It's the man who wears the funny hats on the sidelines." He gathered his composure. He said, "I wasn't going to do that, but Tom Landry is the nuts and bolts of this team, and I appreciate him. I thank the Dallas Cowboys. Today, I'm retired." And I remember watching that, but I remember him thanking, specific teammates, specific ones that had helped him get to where he was along the way. And speaking of things coming to an end, here we are at the end of 2 Timothy, the end of Paul's final words. And we spent 11 weeks, this is part 11, so this is our 11th week that we've been studying and breaking down Paul's final letter that he writes to his beloved son in the faith, Timothy, right? His beloved son, not his actual son, but probably like a son to him, his beloved son in the faith. And this morning, we're going to see some final personal items that Paul wants to deal with. And as we do, we're going to be able to discover some valuable lessons that will help us on our journey with Christ. Paul also, and the reason I was thinking about, speeches and Hall of Fame speeches and retirement speeches, Paul lists some people who have been a great help to him along the way. And it's a reminder to us that relationships matter, right? The relationships that we have, not just with our family, but our church family, people that we serve alongside with and proclaim the gospel with, relationships are important to us within the body of Christ. So let's take a look and see what God wants us to learn. Let's read these scriptures together. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 22. Paul says, "Make every effort to come to me, for Demas has deserted me because he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring back the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. At my first offense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the proclamation might be fully made through me and all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus has remained at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So there's five different things that I want us to focus on as we come to the end of this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And here's number one, if you're taking notes. Sometimes as Christians, we can feel alone. And Paul really kind of brought this out in the final part of the letter here. Sometimes as Christians, we can feel alone. Paul is longing for Timothy to come to him. He said that Demas has deserted him. Crescens and Titus were away doing ministry somewhere else. Paul says in verse 16 that everyone literally had deserted him. And this is the kind of sad picture that we see here as Paul is coming to the end of his life. And I was thinking about this and I'm thinking about our lives, because we want to know how does that pertain to us. This is the way that we can feel sometimes as Christians. Now think about this. Maybe in your situation where you work or where you go to school or in your family dynamic, you might be one of the only or one of a few of Christians in the areas where you kind of live in a daily basis. Maybe you feel alone at your school because, you know, you pray before eating lunch and others make fun of you. Maybe at work you do your job while following God's word, but other people, they lie and cheat and seem to get more attention than you. Maybe you're the only Christian in your home and your family members ridicule you. And there's friction, there's tension, there's two different value systems that seem to butt heads all the time. Maybe you've been called a bigot because you don't adhere to the world's way of thinking when it comes to sexuality and things like that. Loneliness can be even more severe in other countries that, you know, not America perhaps, but in other countries where there are other believers, where they're few and far between, loneliness can be even more severe in other countries where people are being persecuted for being a Christian. You know, I think that's one reason. Remember when Jesus said the road to heaven is narrow? I think that's one of the reasons he said that. Because there's a lot more people in life that choose the wide road that leads to destruction. And sometimes in the world in which we live, in our families and work and school and the places that we live life, it can truly feel like we're strangers in a foreign land. And for Paul here, it was no different. He felt alone. He longed for his beloved friend to come to him. And guys, that's why it's important for you and for me to encourage one another. You know, there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. I mean, you can go back and read, you know, from Genesis all the way through. There's a lot of one another's that we should be following in God's word. And encouraging one another is one of them. And if you go back and read, as we talked about last week, verse 8, you can even use verse 8 in chapter 4 to help encourage one another. Because you remember Paul was talking about, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time for my departure has arrived. But I know that for me, when I get to heaven, there'll be a crown of righteousness that the Lord will prepare for me. It was some kind of a heavenly gift that Paul knew that he would receive in heaven. And we don't know exactly what that is or what it's going to be like, but you and I, when we get to heaven, we'll receive that reward as well. And so we encourage one another that when times are difficult, when times are tough, when we're down and when we're lonely, we encourage, you know what, just like we sang earlier, when we all get to heaven, what a day that will be, right? And some days we want heaven more than others because we're going through a really particularly bad day. And one day that day will come. And so we should encourage one another with those words. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who in your life, as you're sitting there thinking, perhaps God's bringing some people to your mind, Who in your life needs encouragement? Who are some people that God has brought you in touch with or brought you around? Who in your life needs encouragement? Take time to encourage them this week. Just send them a little text message, a little note of encouragement. You know, that goes a long way, doesn't it, when we do stuff like that. So Paul longed for that. He needed it. And sometimes we need to encourage others. So that's the first thing. Paul, sometimes as Christians we can feel alone. Another thing we see here in verse 11, point number two, is that God still changes hearts and minds. God still changes hearts and minds. He mentions there to bring Mark with you because he is useful to me. Now, why do you think Paul would say that about Mark? Okay, let me give you a little bit of background there on Mark here. Mark, if you don't know, his mother's home was one of the meeting places of the Jerusalem church. And there are some who believe that this was the same home where Jesus took the Last Supper with his disciples. We don't know for sure, but there's some speculation there. Mark was a young man who saw firsthand the life of Jesus. He saw him teaching. He saw him performing miracles. He might have even been the young man, if you go back and read Mark chapter 14, verses 51 and 52, he might have been the young man who ran away after losing the linen cloth that was wrapped around him when Jesus was arrested. That might have been Mark. And when Paul went on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, guess who he took with him? Guess who they took with him? Mark, okay? They took Mark with them. But for some reason, we don't know exactly why, Mark went home early. And later, when Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him on another trip, Paul refused, stating that Mark had deserted them. And for whatever reason, we don't know exactly what it was, but for whatever reason, Paul didn't trust Mark anymore. Hang on just a second. Got it on my glasses too. So for whatever reason, Paul did not trust Mark anymore. And we don't know, again, we don't know what it was. There was a disagreement, and this disagreement was so strong that Barnabas and Paul actually split apart. Barnabas ended up taking Paul, and Paul ended up going with Silas on the other missionary journeys. But here we are at the end of Paul's life, okay? Paul is reflecting. Paul is beginning to realize some things. Paul's heart, his mind has changed about Mark once again. Perhaps God had changed Mark's heart too. We don't know really who was at fault. It could have been Paul. Maybe he was just stubborn. Maybe he wasn't gracious enough. Maybe Mark did do something wrong and he didn't need to be with him on that missionary journey. So Paul had given Mark another chance, and now Mark was going to be a tremendous blessing to him. And we don't know all the details in Mark's changed heart or Paul's changed mind, but as I was thinking about that, it shows us the power of God to change people. Amen? Whether Paul's mind was changed, whether Mark's heart was changed, or a combination of both, God is still in the business of changing people. And guys, listen, none of us here today is perfect. And guess what? Each and every one of us is capable of failing another person. I know that's hard to believe, but we're not perfect. We're going to fail people at times. We're going to make mistakes. I think back on my 23 years as your pastor, and I realize that I have made some mistakes along the way. We all have. But we've all grown in our relationship with the Lord. We've all grown in our relationship with each other. And this is why we have to have grace for one another. This is why we have to have patience for one another. Because the very same grace that you and I depend on still transforms lives. Amen? God could change the heart and mind of anyone. So we need to remember this. As we work together for the advancement of the kingdom of God, for the proclamation of the gospel, let's remember, you know what? At times, we're going to have disagreements. At times, we're going to fail one another. At times, we're not going to live up to what we need to be. But let's have grace for each other. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's give people a second chance, because last time I checked, God always gives us a second chance, amen? And so we have to give others a second chance. So God still changes hearts and minds. Another thing I want to mention here, point number three, we talked about sometimes we're lonely. Number three, God has a way of surrounding us with faithful brothers and sisters. Now, Paul mentions several people here at the end of his letter, okay? And I think I did a pretty good job of pronouncing all their names. I was pretty proud of myself. But he mentions Crescens. He mentions Titus and Luke, obviously. Tychicus, Carpus, and Mark. Now, some of these men, undoubtedly, we don't know their stories and all of their situations, but some of these men undoubtedly were sent out by Paul to do ministry, to do other work. Now, he mentions here that Luke remained at Paul's side. Luke was Paul's traveling companion. He was, you could even say, Luke was kind of like his biographer, right? If you go back and read the book of Acts that Luke wrote, writing about Paul, you know, in the book of Acts. So, I mean, he was with Paul through all that stuff. But then there are others. He mentions Prisca. He mentions Aquila. He mentions the household of Onesiphorus. These were all lifelong friends of Paul, people that had stood by him through thick and thin, difficult times and good times. He met Prisca and Aquila in Corinth, and he made tents with them. They, along with the house of Onesiphorus, showed Paul tremendous hospitality during his ministry years. He also mentions Erastus and Trophimus, Eubulus, Prudens, Linus. Yes, the name Linus is in the Bible. Linus and Claudia, they're all mentioned, but again, we don't know much about them except that they were faithful in some way to Paul and ultimately faithful to the kingdom of God. All these people were a huge encouragement to Paul, right? Think about in your life, guys, and we're all on different journeys. We're all on different faith journeys. Some of us have been Christians longer than others. Some of us have experienced more in ministry than other people have, so we're all at different places. But think about the people in your life that have come alongside you as you've gone through your faith journey. Have you taken time to thank them? Have you taken time to tell God, thank you for this person and that person as you've gone through your life journey together? Are you following their example? Are you doing the same? Again, as I said earlier, we all need faithful brothers and sisters to encourage us and to do ministry together. We cannot do life alone. We've not been called to do life alone. We've not been called to do ministry alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who will come alongside of us. And guys, listen, a lot of times when we say we're going to fellowship together, we think about food. And I understand why, because that's a great thing to have fellowship. We have the fellowship hall downstairs where we eat dinners together. But just eating food is not that's not the only kind of fellowship. You know, we can have fellowship when we serve alongside brothers and sisters in Christ in ministry. We can have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ when we go through a battle together, whether it be some kind of an illness or something that we've gone through, and other brothers and sisters came alongside of us and prayed for us and encouraged us and brought us meals and things like that. That is fellowship. And when you go through life together, whether it be in ministry or battles that we go through together, guys, that is fellowship. And so that's why it's important that we encourage one another and do life together, because it's so valuable and we need to be there for one another. Paul mentioned several people that had surrounded his life, faithful brothers and sisters, and we need to do the same. Two more things and then we're done, guys. Number four, as Paul mentions here in verses 14 and 15, there are people who seek to do us harm. There are people who seek to do us harm. He mentions a guy by the name of Alexander the coppersmith. Now, this guy was not a friend to Paul, okay? Paul mentions that Alexander had done great harm to him. There are some people who believe that Alexander may have been involved in Paul's arrest. We don't know exactly. It may have been the same Alexander that Paul mentions back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. In reality, we don't really know who this man is other than he hurt Paul badly. He did harm to him in some way. And Paul says two things about Alexander. What does he say? Number one, he said the Lord's going to repay him, right? And then he said, then he told Timothy, watch out for this guy. He's a bad dude, okay? Now I want you to notice something here. Do you notice what Paul said when it came to dealing with Alexander the coppersmith? He basically said, you know what? God's going to take care of it. Now listen, I don't know what Paul looked like. I don't know how big of a guy he was. I don't know what his physical features were. But Paul right here did something I think probably that was difficult. I think Paul could have totally handled himself in a situation. Even if he was an older guy at this time, there's still such a thing as OMP. Y'all know what OMP is? Old man power. Guys that get older, they may be slower, but I tell you what, they get a hold of you, they could do some damage still. So you young guys need to watch out for us older guys, right? We got this OMP. I think Paul probably could have totally handled himself. But in thinking about revenge, Paul said, you know what, God's going to handle it. Paul probably could have taken this guy out, handled him just fine. And our natural response to someone who hurts us is to take revenge, but that's not what Paul did. He left his hurts and his disappointments with the Lord. He allowed the Lord to deal with Alexander instead of taking matters into his own hand. You know, Paul acknowledged what God had already proven in the Bible, that God's going to punish the wicked. Go back and read the Bible. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? There's a perfect example right there. And the Bible says that literally one day every person will stand before God and give an account for their wrongdoing. As in the parable of the sheep and the goats, the king will say to the sheep, the believers, at the end of the age, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance for the kingdom and the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The king will also say to the goats, the unbelievers, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So in matters like this, we know that ultimately God is going to take care of it in the end. We may not see it in our lifetime, but ultimately God will take care of people who seek to do us harm. So put your faith and trust in Him. One more thing that I want to mention, and then we're done as we close our time together, as we close out this letter. Number five, God will sustain us through our trials. God will sustain us through our trials. Even though, according to verse 16, no one had come to support Paul at his hearing, he mentions that the Lord has indeed been with me. He acknowledged that. Paul had been strengthened by the Lord. And he uses, in verses 17 and 18, he uses the Greek word endumai, which the meaning of it means to be infused with strength. And so God had infused Paul with strength. And this strength gave Paul the ability to continue to preach from prison and face his impending death. He infused Paul with the strength through the Holy Spirit to be steadfast in the face of difficult times. And Paul knew that Christ would ultimately deliver him to his heavenly kingdom. It was the promise that gave him hope in life. And guys, we need to remember something, and it's something that you guys already know, because we've all been through difficult times in our lives. We've all suffered heartache. We've all gone through battles, you know, personally or together as a family. We have to remember that God never promised that life would be easy. He never said that we would not experience loss or failure or pain. He never said that our road would always be smooth. He did promise, though, that He would be with us forever. He said, I will stand by your side forever. He did say that in our brokenness, He would provide hope and strength. How do we know this? Because the Bible says it. That's how we know. Read God's word for a start. It's full of promises like, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's full of promises like, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. It says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So God's word is full of promises that say that he will be with us even through the most difficult of times. He also gave us, guess what? He gave us family members and friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ who will love us and support us and pray for us as we go through difficult times. And these precious folks are people that we can turn to in times of despair. So God will sustain us through our trials. No matter what we face, God will always be our Father, and we will always be his children. Amen? My children will never not be my children. Yeah, I have daughters, and they get married, they take on another last name, but they're still my children. They'll never not be my children. And no matter what we face, God will always be our Father. We will always be his children. His unconditional love and grace will always surround us. And so as Paul reached the end of his life, he could look back. He could look back and see how God had been at work, how he had been faithful to God's calling. And now it was the time for him to pass the torch, if you will, to the next generation, preparing leaders to take his place so that the world would continue to hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And Timothy was going to live out Paul's legacy. Timothy was a byproduct, if you will, of Paul's faithful teaching, his discipleship, and his example. And because of Paul's work with many other believers, including Timothy, guess what? The world is full of believers today. Because people were faithful to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, that's why you and I are Christians today, because people were faithful to go and to share. So as you think about your life, and you think about where you're at in your journey, what legacy will you leave behind? One day when your story is all written, and you come to the end of your life, and you've fought your fight, you've run your race, and the time for your departure is close, will you say that I've done and been all for Jesus Christ? Will you say that I'm leaving a legacy of faithfulness to those behind me? It's our responsibility to do all that we can do to keep the gospel message alive for the next generation. And so let's be faithful now. Let's make disciples now. Let's start with our children and our grandchildren, but go beyond that. Let's make disciples. Let's leave a lasting impact on our families and church family and people that we live and do life with. Let's leave a lasting impact for them to see the faithfulness in our lives, because that's really, at the end of our life, that's what matters. Amen? So let's remember to do that. Let's remember to be faithful. And let's remember that God is always with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for what we've learned, this last little bit of Paul's letter here. Lord, so many things that we could spend so much more time on. This last little bit of stuff that Paul is just remembering, these final words that he wanted to say to Timothy and ultimately to us. Lord, help us to remember these valuable lessons. Help us to remember that you are with us every step of the way, that you surround us with faithful brothers and sisters, that we need to be encouragement to others, even when it's difficult. And Lord, we know that sometimes there'll be times when we feel lonely, but you are with us every step of the way. Father, help us to remember these life lessons. And Lord, we want to live them out for you, for your glory and honor. Not for us, but for you. So Lord, we ask you right now to have your way in us. Whatever that is, whatever it looks like, whatever you're calling us to do today, I pray that you would just have your way in us and that we would respond in faith to you. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together as a church family. Amen.